So we're going to dive in this morning, and we want to look at the next part of our series, which is this idea of flourishing church. Remember, this idea we kind of focused on was responding to a world that's in crisis. And the issue is, as the church, we looked at this, right, is that we got to have credibility as the church of Jesus Christ. Everyone else is going crazy out there. We can't go with them, right? And this is sort of the vision that God has cast for us. By the way, this is not me casting my vision. This is me casting God's vision. Because my vision is cracked. God's is right on where we need it to be. So we're going to look at that today. And we look at the second piece that I want you guys to kind of grab a hold of as this church with credibility is this idea that, and I want everybody kind of get a hold of this for a second. Every single one of us has to grow in God's grace and knowledge consistently. Like, we got to grow. And we're going to talk about why in a second, but we got to do that. And there's more scripture than we could cover if we stayed, you know, until 5 o'clock today. We're not going to look at every one, but I want you guys to understand this is what God wants from us, and we're going to kind of dig in and explain it. And I want to throw out, we aspire to be a flourishing church that is growing in grace consistently. And here's kind of a question. Why is personal growth so important, and just how is it possible in this challenging world in which we live? And I want to share, that's kind of what I focus on. Let's kind of listen into that and hear God's instruction. And out there, a lot of you guys are saying, I don't have no more time. You don't know my life. My life is, you know, it's crazy. It's too full. I don't have time to grow. And by the way, that's a bad spot to be at. Because if we don't grow, we're going to die, literally. We're going to die. So we got to figure this out. And God's given us some answers. We got to hear them. And by the way, this is me. Oh, I always understand when I talk about you. This is me too. I have not figured it all out. But God is working in me as well. So let's kind of think about our eternal truth. This is what I want you guys to walk away with this morning. We defined last week, a flourishing church is made up of flourishing believers and families, right? Families that are flourishing, that have credibility, and we talk about this, right? In their imperfect but growing walk with Christ. We have to come humbly and say, you know what? We haven't figured it all out, but we know God's working in us and he's changing us and doing what we need to do. A flourishing church, and I wish I could change this part. A flourishing church does not have an absence of problems. Now, you know, we all would like to leave our problems and not have any more of those, but that's not going to happen in this world. The world's really broken. Or issues, but we handle them biblically, manifesting God's unity, selfless love, grace, compassion, humility, sacrifice, and power for change. And that's who we want to be. You know, I wish I could say, if you join First Baptist Church, your problems are over. The reality, if you join First Baptist Church, we just began. Right? But the challenge is that God has given us the tools. Everybody look up for a second. This is important. You know what? God has given us the tools. We're going to learn that today from these passages. The challenge usually is that we don't use them. It's not that God has left us here to flounder around. God's given us the tools, and we decided we're going to flounder around and try and do it our own way. So what we're going to look at today is a flourishing church grows in grace consistently. And I want to get this in our minds. Growing in grace is a community effort of discipleship. And I want you guys to stop for a second. Look around. Growing in grace isn't something I do by myself. It happens in the context of the body of Jesus Christ. And I shared this last week, and I'll share a little bit today. You know what? I can see all of your flaws, but I can never see mine. Isn't that true? And you guys have the same problem. Like, we are all, you know, Greg's having some eye issues, and I'm wearing readers, too, sometimes now. You know, we're all getting up there in age a little bit. We're having these eye issues, and I'm having a problem reading up close. But when I look at my life, I never see anything wrong up close. That's why I need you to say, you know what, something's wrong here, Pastor Guy. I know you're a little having a problem seeing. Let me share with you what's going on in love and humility, right? So it's a community effort. Let me say this one thing. I didn't put this in here, but it's a community effort but it takes personal responsibility. It's the community. We're going to work on it as a team, but we have to take responsibility personally that I'm going to grow. And I share this. It results in greater knowledge, understanding, humility, by the way, is such an important thing. Faith, hope, and I'll define those better. Obedience, submission, change, fruitfulness, and thanksgiving. When we grow, we all those things that we need to be, as we grow, we become who God wants us to be. And it, by the way, it's vital as the church faces change. We just went through some of the greatest changes we have seen in our world in probably hundreds of years. We got to face that. And we're not quite sure what to do. Problems and adversity. Everybody get this name. Everybody look up. Satan is alive and well. And he's not happy if you're growing. And he's not happy if you're following the Lord. He's going to do everything possible, by the way, to divide us, to discourage us. That's his game. Satan's game is division and subtraction. And God's game is multiplication and addition. And they are diametrically opposed to each other. So we got to grow. And let's talk about how is that going to happen in this world where we struggle. And it's, by the way, everything's working against us, humanly speaking. Sarah, just take me to the next one if you would, dear, my dear. Thanks. So we want to go to the next point and just kind of a quick reminder. We talk about this idea of credibility. And the church, you know, indeed has an image problem in the Western world, especially in America as well. And here's the challenge, right? The essence of Christianity isn't the same as the current angry, abusive, self-righteous expression of Christianity that's causing so many to walk away. People look at the church and they're like, ah, I don't need that. And they're right. They don't need that. They need us to be Christ's church. And that happens as we grow. And I want to move right down to the next slide today and just kind of dig on in on that, if you guys would. Go ahead, Sarah, you can move it up. Just a reminder, and we'll kind of get these in our minds. God's looking for 8 things in us as a church. We looked at last week, worshiping God passionately. By the way, thank you, Cindy. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, others who want to be part of the praise teams coming up. God's doing that in us. We want to grow in grace consistently. And that's what we'll talk about today. And all the rest, next week we're going to talk about practicing obedience to God personally. And you can see all the rest, and I'm going to move right past that. So we'll come back. That's our thoughts, where we're going to head to. And we're going to advance to the next slide. Here's a connection. This growth thing. Why is growth so important? And we're going to look at 4 things today. And the first one is, we looked at the topic of worship last week, right? And a fundamental thing and that sort of is the foundation for our worship is knowledge of who God is. And what does he want from us? Right? We're going to look at that. The times in which we live. We're going to look at that in a minute. The troubles that we face. And the truths that set us free. That's sort of this connection, why growth is so important. So I'm going to go right to the next slide. And I want to just kind of remind us where we were last week. Remember we talked about this idea of worship, right? And by the way, just kind of a good refresher. We're worshiping God passionately. The concept of true worship is, if I'm going to worship God passionately, I got to know God truly. And remember, we said this last week, if I don't really know God truly, my worship is really idolatry. Because I'm sort of fashioning a God that I like, and I'm worshiping that. God in heaven wants to be worshiped as the God who he is. And we only know that from his word. So this idea of knowledge and knowing God's word and growing in this grace and knowledge is so critical. And remember, we talked about this in worship then. Then when I know who God is, then I can respond from my heart by valuing God accurately. When I see God, that there's nothing greater than God, then I begin to value him accurately in my life. And I can worship him. And I treasure him. I prize him. I enjoy him. I'm satisfied with God above all earthly things. And then my response to God, that valuing of God is demonstrable. By the way, that's a big word. What's that mean, demonstrable? That's a big word, right? What does that mean? It means that these are things that people can see. And they see it in a genuineness. It's not just, you know, I do these sort of religious things, but they see the genuine stuff. So demonstrable acts of praise from my lips and acts of love and serving others for the sake of Christ. And I'll throw this out. A lot of us, we get tired of serving others and we want to serve ourselves. But when I really worship God and I pull him up to be who he is accurately, I sacrifice me for those acts of worship to others so I can bring glory to him for the sake of Jesus. So that's sort of this tie-in. We're going to slide down to the next verse really quickly. And I want you guys, we looked at this, I'm just going to hit it real fast today. But when we looked at John chapter 14, verses 19 to 26, I'm going to go right to the words in yellow, verse 22. Look what it says. It says, Jesus said this about to the Samaritan woman at the well. He says, you worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So this knowledge thing is so critical. And remember, I kind of summarized at the top, it's not where you worship, but it's how and who you worship. That's critical. So again, I got to know God if I'm going to worship God the way he wants. And I want to move right on down. And the second point I want to just hit on quickly this morning, and we're not going to, you know, deal with this in great detail, but I want us to stop and think for a second, this issue of growth, this connection, why growth matters. Here's why growth matters. The times in which we live. And I want to throw this word. There's one word. Ready, look up real fast. Look at that word next to the times in which we live. What's the word? Deception. We live in a day of deception. And by the way, as I go to Matthew chapter 24, a lot of times like we're looking at this as believers saying, man, we're living it right now. It looks like the Lord's return can't be too far off. And Matthew 24 speaks to this. But look what Jesus speaks about and why it's so important that we grow in grace. He says, and Jesus said, he's talking to his disciples 2,000 years ago. It says, and Jesus answered and he said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. Those places in yellow are all about deception. And in Matthew 24, the Lord says, there's going to be deception. There's going to be more deception. There's going to be more deception. There's going to be more deception. Everybody look up. How do I combat deception? With truth, but I got to know the truth. You know, and you've heard this illustration probably before, you know, how they teach people to find out what money is counterfeit. They teach them to understand what is real. And we as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have all the tools. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit more next week. We have all those things. So we need to know those things intimately so we can recognize deception. It's so important. And by the way, look what Jesus says. He says, for many will come in my name saying, I'm Christ, and they will deceive many. Everybody look up. I want to say something about this for a second. You know what? All of us know, we could probably repeat that phrase by memory. But I want us to kind of understand what God's saying. You know, there's a lot of people out there, right? They're not really necessarily saying in these words that they're the Messiah. But we sure treat them like they are. And I mean that politically. You know, they're not saying they're a Messiah, but they're saying, if he doesn't get in, the whole country is going to go to hell in a handbasket. No. We need to discern that God is on the throne. And we need to discern truth from error. And that there is no human being on the face of earth or ever was on the face of earth, or ever will be on the face of earth, that is the Messiah. that is Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Right? Amen? And I want to challenge us, that's why we got to grow above sort of a superficial reading and understanding of the Word of God. We got to grow beyond that. And look by what he says next, and by the way, this happens to me too. He says, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Amen. And guess what? You know, we are a button push away from nuclear war in Ukraine and Russia. And by the way, that's a little unnerving, isn't it? But I'll tell you what. God's got his hand on the hand that can press the button. Right? Amen? And that's what we have to understand. Again, like, we got to understand what God's word teaches and how that really applies to where we're living right now. So we don't have to, you know, wake up every morning totally afraid to step out into our day because God's there, you know, and he's going to take care of these things. And by the way, if God allows that to happen, God is sovereign over all these things. And I got to trust him even in that, right? And I'm going to skip down to the bottom. He talks about all the wars, pestilences, earthquakes, all things that are going on. And look at verse 11. He says, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And again, we just see that. There's people out there who are just trying to get your following, your money, your ability to empower them to do what they want to do in the guise of, we're going to save you. And they're not, because we need to follow God. And I want to just share with you guys, I know as a church, sometimes like we think we get a little puffed up sometimes, and we think, well, we know scripture. Look what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ or there, don't believe it. And he says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise. And check it out. They're going to show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And the point I want us to get a hold of is, you know, church, and by the way, I'm talking to me too, we got to understand what God's program is and what God's doing and who God is, because there's some people that are going to be so crafty and so slick and so slippery like their father, the devil, that they could almost deceive God's people. Yeah, almost. And I'll throw this out. Right now, there's a whole lot of God's people that are kind of running down a corridor that is not God's. And we got to be careful of that. So that's like, and this is the Lord saying this to the disciples 2,000 years ago. He's saying, you all got to grow because there's a lot of deception out there. So I want to get a hold of that this morning and think about that. By the way, 2 Peter chapter 3, I can't look at all these because we'll be here all day. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about that same idea. And you guys can check that out for yourself, okay? So we're going to go to the next slide. You know, the times in which we live, and I want to throw one more thing. Not only do we have all these things going on with deception rising, we're feeling it, aren't we? And Paul says this, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And I want you guys to get this in our minds. Already look up. We are not going to escape this life without persecution and without suffering. Now, I don't know about you. I hate suffering, and I know you do too. No one's like got their line. Yeah, let me be the first one to suffer or get persecuted. No one's looking for that. But it's a reality. And he says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I want to take you right down to verse 16. God gave us a tool to deal with that. Look what he says. He says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Like God literally breathed out these words that were taken down by human scribes to put them onto a page that could be transmitted to us and can be transmitted throughout eternity, even digitally, so that we have tools to live this Christian life. And he says, all these things is profitable for doctrine. In other words, for truths that we hang on to and are our foundation for life. By the way, if we take God out of the picture, I don't know where we're going. Right? And that's what he's trying to say here. For reproof, right? You know, for correcting and correcting what's wrong, and to instruct us in this idea of righteousness. And I love that last line. Would you guys read that verse 17 with me out loud? Isn't that kind of cool? So if we have used this tool, it makes us complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I feel ill-equipped. Do you feel ill-equipped? I need God to keep building me up so I'm ready. I have to have all the armor on. That's another passage, right? I have to sort of have a perspective from God so that I can see clear where we're going in this thing. Right? And that's so important. So we're going to slide down to the next thing. So that's important, by the way. That's why we got to grow. We got to grow because deception. We got to grow because of the times in what we live. And Sarah, move us down to the next one. We got to grow because there's troubles that we face. And by the way, Paul said this also about 2,000 years ago. He said, you know, we have this treasure, the gospel, in earthen vessels. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about you. You guys and me, we are like clay pots. We look good on the outside. You know, clay pots, you can paint them up. You can make them beautiful, but they are still really fragile, right? We got that treasure in us, and he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. And he says, we are perplexed. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. I look at the world, and I go, what is happening? You know, I look at our own community, I look around, what in the world is going on? He said, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. You know why we're not in despair? Because the Bible says that God knows all things, and he's not surprised at the craziness or the foolishness that man comes up with. So I don't have to despair that, because he's in control. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken, right? Hebrews says what? It says, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. It may feel like it, but he's there. And he said, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And I throw this out. That's why I need to grow, because that word there, by the way, it says we are hard-pressed on every side. The Greek word is this word. It's called philipsis. It has the idea. People use this expression. I feel like the walls are closing in on me. Anybody feel like that? And by the way, when the walls are closing in, we feel like there's no way out. And that's why I need to grow. Because God gave us a way out. So we feel that. The troubles that we face, another reason we got to grow. Sarah, take us to the next one. The truths that set us free. And here's what I want to share with us. You know what? Jesus said this all the way back to his disciples, and he actually spoke this to the Pharisees and the scribes too. And he says, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, followers indeed. And he says this, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's why I got to grow, because here's the challenge. We are in bondage to fear. We are in bondage to discouragement. We are in bondage to, anger and disgust. And all those things become the things that drive our lives. But when I grow in my faith and my knowledge and the grace of God, by the way, the word of God is an incredible grace, a gift from God to equip me for all these good works and to deal with these things that want to try to keep me in bondage. And I'm here practically, what else keeps us in bondage? You know what keeps us in bondage? Prejudice keeps me in bondage. You know what? Pride keeps me in bondage. Doesn't it do it? All those things, it keeps me, I think I know, and I really don't. Right? And that keeps me in bondage. All these things, they keep us in bondage. But the Lord said, I want you to grow so that you can get set free of all that and live this life that God wants you to live that's going to have joy and peace. Remember Jesus said, he says, in this world you will have tribulation. And by the way, a lot of us are in bondage too. We just feel like we're here to be beat on. No, you're going to have tribulation, but he says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He says, this is the peace I give you. Like, I need to know that. I need to be reflecting and thinking about that all the time, because I'm apt to try to fix all the problems myself in my own energy and my own strength. And you know what? I can't. Although I keep trying. And we all do, right? And that's the challenge. You know, many people are struggling with, you know, depression and all these mental health things because we're trying to do so many things that God never meant for us to do. And I need his truth to set me free from all that stuff. And that's why I got to grow. So we're going to go down to the next point. And we kind of covered that. We'll go to the next one, Sarah, please. That's sort of the outline all over again. So what are these concepts of growth? And here they are real quick, right? Growth can be defined. Because when people say, what is spiritual growth? You kind of get, you know, all kinds of looks. So I don't know what that means. We're going to define that real fast. Growth can be described, and I want to say this, growth is a process. It's a process, right? Growth is a community effort. We'll come to that, and I'll throw this out last. You know what? Growth can get measured. We can measure. We can see, how are we doing? Do we need to grow still? By the way, the answer is yeah. But we'll kind of test it out. I'm going to understand that. So let's go to the first slide. Growth can be defined, and by the way, everybody look up. Say it with me. Growth can be defined, and it is expected. In other words, everybody look up. Get this in your mind. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. In fact, Psalm 103 says this. And by the way, what a great verse, again, to hold on to. God's not expecting your perfection. It says in Psalm 103, he knows that you're but dust. He created you out of the dust of the ground. Dust has a hard time being perfect. Right? God knows that. But he does expect you to move from where you're at and where I'm at, and he expects us to grow and change. And by the way, he even gave us his Holy Spirit, we'll talk about him next week, to help us when we can't do it by ourselves, by the way, which is always. So we'll get that. And growth is a community effort. Growth can be measured, and we're going to go right down to the first slide. Here's the first one, right? Growth can be defined. And with an expectation, it's going to occur. Here's the definition. Write it down real fast, right? Here's spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is becoming more and more like Jesus. And I'll throw this out. You know, people all the time, like, we learn how to do different things. And I'll say a lot of practical things are better caught than taught. And what I mean by that is it's better to see that in a person. It's better to see that in a human being. Like, you know, I throw out, how many men own a power saw? Raise your hand. Get up there real high. All you guys got all your fingers? Okay, good, right? But here's the deal with that, right? What typically, you didn't just, you know, go to Home Depot, buy it, plug it in, and fire it up, did you? You didn't typically do that because you didn't know what to do. Probably someone in your family, someone in your neighborhood, someone in your friends said, let me show you how to do that, so you end up the same after you began than when you started. Got all the fingers, everything's still here, right? And that's kind of this process, right? Is that spiritual growth is a process. And we're becoming more like Jesus. So as we read the scriptures, even like the gospels, they give us an example of what we are supposed to do. Remember Jesus, when he was hit, he said, turn the other cheek. And by the way, when he was taken captive, he did. Remember they said, he didn't open his mouth. They whipped him, they beat him, they did all these things to him, and he followed the Lord and he didn't do what we do, retaliate. So we get to kind of see that in action, a little bit like someone showing you how to use the saw, right? So look what it says in this passage. So let's define it. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, Peter wrote these words, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2-4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us, and I want you to read with me, what's it say? All things that pertain to life and godliness, and here's the key word, what? Through the knowledge of him. So I got to grow to understand what my toolbox looks like. It says, and he called us by his glory and virtue. He's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And let me explain that for a second. Get this. So God's given us all these knowledge and all these tools, and he's given the Holy Spirit to help us to discern it. He's given us those things. So everybody look up. You can live your life in partnership with God who shares his power so you can live life the way he wants. In other words, we're partaking of divine power as we live through the word of God and walk in the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's doing for us. He's given us that thing. So we're becoming more and more like Jesus, and he's given us the tools. Real quick, and we said it in our eternal truth, what does growth look like? How would I define? That's how I define it, becoming more and more like Jesus, using the tools and the power that God gives me. But here's what it looks like. Here's what I end up with: knowledge. By the way, not just knowledge so that you could go on Jeopardy and win when they ask you the Bible category, right? Not that kind of knowledge. Not, you know, knowledge so you can win a game or something like that. But knowledge so that you can live life the way God wants you to live. You know, the book of Proverbs is all full of those kind of things. A lot of wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And the idea of wisdom literature is so that we can live life well. God wants us to live life well. So we have knowledge. And by the way, knowledge is good, but I have understanding of how it applies. That's even better. And like we just talked about, Jesus said, people are going to say they're the Messiah. And you might go, I don't know anyone saying that now. They're not using that word, but they're acting like they're Jesus. Right? How do I apply the truths of God's word now? That's what we're talking about, that understanding, discernment. You know, and by the way, it increases as I read God's word, humility, because I recognize I'm not all that. And by the way, everybody look up. You're not all that either. Right? Humility, right? Faith. Now I have a place. There used to be a song we used to sing. It says, my faith has found a resting place. My faith finds its resting place in real truth about who God is when I read and I understand his word. I grow. My faith grows. And by the way, 1 John says this, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I need that kind of faith because I'm looking at the world and things are not adding up anymore, and God wants me to keep on doing, being in the game, stay doing what I'm supposed to do, serving him. But I'm like, God, I'm not sure what's going on. God, what am I going to do? And God a lot of times says, trust me. God doesn't show me all the steps from here till eternity. God sometimes only shows me one. And sometimes I can't even see that. So I got to grow that faith, right? And then hope has this idea. Hope is not a wishful thought. If people have the idea, you know, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it's not too cold. I hope it doesn't snow. That's a wishful thought. That's the way we think as human beings. Hope is confidence. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, as the song says, right? So I have confidence that no matter how it looks to me, no matter what happens, God is in control and God is going to work it out. And that hope then gives me perseverance in life. And by the way, life is all about persevering, isn't it? You know, we just kind of live through so much of that. Obedience comes from knowledge. I know what I got to do. And then God gives me, through his Holy Spirit, a heart of submission to do what I got to do. You know, it's all part of this growth process. Change happens. Everybody look up. I'm sure people look at you and you look at others and say, they'll never change. Absent God, his word, and his spirit. Right? Change takes place, right? Fruitfulness, the fruit of the spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All those things become part of our growth. And by the way, here's one. If you want to measure your spiritual growth and your need for growth, Thanksgiving. In our country right now, we are majoring on what we don't have and not thanking God on what we do have. Right? And the church isn't doing all that great at that either, right? You know, and us as human beings. So growth is all about that. That's defining what growth looks like. Now I'm going to slide down very quickly, if you guys would, Sarah. Next slide, if we could go there. There we go. Growth can be described. I want you guys to get this in your mind. We're going to move quick. I know it's 12:27. The Eagles don't play until what time tonight? Mark Berry, tell me. 8:20. We got all day. We got all day, babe. We got all day. We're not worried. We're not worried about it. We're good, right? You even have, I'll be done and you'll still have time to go get wings and stuff and it'll be okay, all right? All right? But get this in your mind, right? Growth can be described. And get this in your mind, growth is a process. And look at, here's a key word, I put it out real fast. Says, and Peter wrote this, he said, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Everybody get this in your mind. Remember I said, growth is a community effort, but it takes personal responsibility. We got to be diligent. We got to spend some energy. We got to commit ourselves that we're going to do this. We're going to grow, right? And that's kind of key. But look what he said. Here's the key word. What's that first word in yellow? Read it out loud. Add, right? So growth is a process. You start somewhere, and what do? You add to it, and you add to it, and you add to it. Look what he says. So he says, add to your faith. Like we have this little mustard seed faith that caused us to be a part of God's family, and now God says, I want you to add to it. Everybody look up. When you got saved, you did not just get a fire insurance policy. You know how that works, right? Like, you know, you get a home, you got to get homeowners. God forbid if it burns down, it's going to get replaced. When you got saved, God transmitted you from death to life. But that's not all. He wants you to keep on going and grow, right? And look what he says here. He says, so add to your faith virtue. And you might say, well, what is virtue? Here's virtue. Virtue is character. Exceptional, godly character. In other words, like you're someone when you say your word is good. That kind of character. He said, I want you to add that thing to who you are. You need that character, right? That virtue. And then look, he continues on. And by the way, it has the idea, when I say it's exceptional, it means it's not out there a lot. But the Church of Jesus Christ, we ought to be these kind of people that are like, remember the Lord said this, and I forget the passage, help me with this right now, it's not coming to my mind. Remember God said, we're a peculiar people? Some of you guys are going, amen, yeah. We are really weird. Now, he doesn't mean that. He means you are really unique because your character is the character of Jesus Christ. And it's not out there a lot. People are driven by their flesh, right? And we are driven by our flesh. And then he says, I want you to add to your virtue knowledge. And I said this before, an understanding of God's word, not just the words, but an understanding of God's word that helps me apply it right now, where I'm living, right? And then he says, I want you to add to your knowledge self-control. And self-control is this idea that I have this ability to restrain, you know, my affections, my actions, my desires, because I want to be godly. He says, when you know what you're supposed to do, I want you to add to your faith this character. I want you to add more knowledge to your character. I want you to have self-control. I don't want you to be driven by your flesh. You know, Ephesians says this, you know, that we are driven like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. We don't want to be that. We want to be stable, right? That's what he's talking about here, self-control. And then it says perseverance, and we talked about that. Perseverance is this ability to stay in opposition, to stay in difficulty, to stand there and to be steadfast no matter what's happening. I want you to add that in. And I want to throw this out. I really look up real fast. As I begin to understand God's word and I begin to add those things, now I'm changing. I'm changing from knowing the memory verse and maybe even, and by the way, you know, memory verse is the hardest thing is, where's it found? Like, we know all the words and we go, where's that found? Right? But this is going beyond knowing the verse, knowing where it's found, but having it really be active in your life and changing how you think and act. That's what he's talking about here, right? And he says it's the perseverance at godliness, brotherly kindness. That's the word, remember, Philadelphia? Like there's just this affection when I see brothers and sisters in Christ as we travel the world and see people all over different places. When you're a Christian, you might not even speak the same language, but there's this connection, this love. I want you to have that. And then he says to brotherly kindness, add agape, selfless, sacrificial love of God. Amen. That's growth. That's how we can describe growth. So everybody look up real quick. You might remember all that stuff. And by the way, I'm going to actually send out to everybody the PowerPoint so you'll have some of this later on. But here's the key thing to get in your mind, right? The key word is growth is all about add. Adding more, adding more, adding more. Keep, don't stop, just keep adding, right? So we go next slide real fast there. Help us. Growth can be described, right? And by the way, check this out. There's kind of a promise with that kind of growth. Look what Peter said. He said, for if these things are yours and abound. In other words, if you kind of added all these things in your life, this is how it's going to look. He says, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're going to see the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to see peace. We're going to see love. We're going to see humility. We're going to see all those things, kindness and gentleness. And God knows I need a lot more kindness and gentleness. And I'm really serious. I do. Sometimes I'm like, I'm rough. People use this word kindly. You're a little rough around the edges. Right? And sometimes I'm rough. And I was thinking about this morning. A couple people were talking. Sometimes we are like lions, aren't we? And sometimes I'm like a lion. And so it just takes like one little thing and, right? That is not, by the way, lions are not a fruit of the Spirit. Right? I got to work on it. I confess to you, I got to work on that more. I'm not. You know, God made me like Paul, passionate, but it's a curse at times. You know, it's great to get things done. It destroys relationships. Right? I got to keep working on that. I'm not there yet for sure, right? And look what he says, and if you lack these things, get this in your mind. So if you don't grow, everybody get this in your mind. This is the Lord saying, this is not Pastor Gary saying, this is the Lord. He says, if you lack this growth in these things, you're short-sighted. We're going to keep on living in this world. It's going to keep waxing worse. There's going to be more deception. You're going to be squeezed more and more, and the truth's got to set you free. He says, if you lack these things, you're short-sighted. And I want to say, here's what I'm talking about. We can say, you know what? I don't have time to grow. I don't have time to read. I don't have time for that stuff. Then you're going to have a lot of time to suffer through life on your own strength and your own power. And we all do it. I do it too. We all do it. God said, you got to grow. It's going to make it better. You got to grow. And look what he says after that. He says, even the blindness. It's like, if we don't think we need to grow, it's like we're blind. You know, and that's the problem, right? And he said, therefore, brother, be even more diligent. Let's commit ourselves to this to make our call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And think about it, we all feel like we're falling all over the place sometimes. We got to grow. We got to grow as the church of Christ, Jesus Christ. Sarah, next slide. We got to go. Not only grow. Growth is a community effort with personal responsibility. I can't even list all the verses. Remember, Jesus, by the way, most things that Jesus does spiritually, I use a word. You can write it down. They're incarnational. Now, you know what that means? God doesn't just take his word and sort of drop it out of heaven on a leaflet. God puts his word in a person who is empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring about change in our lives. You know, we can walk in a room and see the mirror, but when I walk in the room and someone's holding the mirror in front of me, it works a whole lot better. And that's what he's talking about, right? So growth is a community effort. And I said this 1,000 times, so I'm going to say it again. You know what? We come to church, we are by no means perfect, but God uses our imperfectness as we step on each other, sin against each other, we learn to forgive each other. You know, we learn to separate what's big and what's small. We learn to love sacrificially when it hurts. We learn to be selfless when all I want to be is selfish, right? Growth is a community effort with personal responsibility. Everyone says, you know what? I'm going to grow, and I'm going to help my brother or my sister grow as well. And that's what God's looking for. And 2 Timothy 2:2 says that, right? He says, and the things you've heard from me among the many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who can teach others also. And I want everybody to get this in your mind. I'm going to move this one. You know what? Teaching doesn't mean you got to use this thing, right? It's not just on the platform or in a classroom. Teaching is something that happens every day as we go through life together. You know, it could be a phone call. It could be an email. It could be a text message. It could be, you know, just that we're interacting at a restaurant. We're interacting somewhere else, in the garden, wherever. That's how this community effort thing works. That's why fellowship is so important. That's why, you know, in the book of Hebrews, the author said this. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some do. But he said, you know what? Keep encouraging each other even more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. We need to bind together in community in our huddle so that we know the word of God, we communicate the word of God, we grow in the word of God, and we support and encourage each other. So critical, right? So next slide, Sarah. And the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 40 to 47, that's what they did in the early church, continuing daily with one accord. Next slide. Got to wrap her up. Growth can be measured. And I'm going to skip this slide. I want you guys to write this verse, write this passage down. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. I'm just going to say this real fast as we're going to turn the slide. You know what? God says if we walk in the flesh, right, we're going to do the things of the flesh. But if we walk in the spirit, we're going to get victory over the flesh. We're going to go right to the next slide. How do I know if I'm growing or not? How do I know that? Here's the first thing. These things ought to be absent or decreasing in yours and my life. Right? The works of the flesh are evident. By the way, this is not, you don't have to look real hard to see the flesh at work in you and I. Look what it says. Adultery, right? Adultery. In other words, you know, that's sexual sin, by the way, is all over the place. It should not be in the church. Right? Adultery, fornication. Right, any sexual sin outside of what God has given for marriage, right, shouldn't be there. Uncleanness, lewdness, right in that same category. Idolatry, sorcery. And by the way, I'm not talking, that has the idea of maybe witchcraft, but it also has the idea of using substances that alter our minds. And I'm not talking about for medical reasons. I'm talking about for recreational reasons. And by the way, what a huge thing that we're dealing with right now, right, in our country, right? Hatred. And by the way, notice that the Lord gives us some of the big sins, and then he goes to the one that's in our heart, hatred. Contention. Jealousy. Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambition. Dissension, that division. Heresies, where we take the truth of God and use it for our own ends. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelness. He said, all those things are the works of the flesh. And if any or all of those things are kind of permeating our lives, guess what? We need to grow. Right? And evidence of our growth is the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. And there's that, you know, the Bible says this, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace and freedom. Yeah, peace, right? Long-suffering. I can bear up even with difficult people. By the way, none of you are here. I'm here, sorry. Right? We're all here, right? Right? Thinking about these things there, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what God's looking for, right? Those are evidence of you're growing. We're not the same anymore. So we got to quit. Last slide, Sarah, take us to the end. Boom, boom, boom. Here we go. I know it's late, but it's important. Right? Go right past that. That's just a summary. So what are we going to do? How are we going to make this happen, you guys? By the way, preaching isn't just to share information. I'm not just an information sender. This is not the banking theory here, as some educators know about. But what are we going to do? How are we going to change? Seek and set your mind on growth. Colossians says that in chapter 3, right? If you want to grow, it's not going to happen automatically. You got to put your mind to it. It's going to cost you a little something to do it. It's going to cost you time, energy. You got to make a plan, right? Honestly measure and evaluate your growth. Everybody look up. Anybody got any areas that are really kind of, you ever hear that phrase? It sticks out like a sore thumb. You got any areas in your life right now that stick out like a sore thumb? Let's be real. I mean, I'm not saying tell me or tell everybody else, but anybody struggling with that? Yeah, right? That's what he says. Got to measure, right? And now I'm going to throw this out. We got to make specific plans to grow. And I'll just share a quick example of that for me. Every morning we listen to it in our bed, usually, daily breath. Some days, by nighttime, I have no idea what that said. Can I get an amen? Am I the only one? Right? Or you might read your Bible. You know, you wake up and wipe the sleep out your eyes and whatever you do, you know, and you read it, and you got no idea by 6 p.m. what you heard or what you read. Can I get amen? Yep. Amen. Amen. So, and I learned this, by the way, and me and Pastor Anthony were talking about this. A professor at his school said the same thing. So you got to get a journal. So that may not work for everybody. Somebody says, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. It may not work for everybody. But you know what? If I write it down, suddenly it sticks more. It doesn't take a whole lot more time. So that's a specific plan. I'm in the Word of God, but there's so much happening. There's so many sort of things hitting my mind, I forget. You guys might be saying, Pastor, you're getting old, brother. And that's probably true. And some of you who are older, you know that's even more true, right? So you got to write it down. You got to write it down. And I want to encourage you guys, we got to have a specific plan. Specific plan. Amen? Amen. Let's take that and run with that. Amen? Amen? Amen. We are going to close with a word of prayer. And Cindy, our time is really late, so we're just going to close with a word of prayer today. I appreciate you, praise team. You know, you practice it well. Next week, let's just pray, okay? Everybody, let's pray. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Lord God, if we're honest, we need to grow. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to practically put these three things together, Lord, that we would grow. Lord, help us to be real about where we are. Help us to seek and set our minds on change, on growth. And Lord God, may our needs stick out so much that we can put some specific things together to change where we are. Father, help us to have our feet in service so that we're here, that we're learning, we're interacting. Help us to be part of the body actively as people, Lord, whether in service, Lord, by phone, communicating with each other, Lord, about spiritual things. Father, work in us as only you can. And I ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving for this gift. Amen.